loves you today. Amen. John chapter 6, if you have a copy of your Bible, John chapter number 6, I'm going to make you turn to a couple places, and actually three. The last place to stop is where we'll read, and John chapter number 6, if you have a little marker or a piece of paper, anything, gum, no, don't do that, put it right here, and then go to the book of Psalms, chapter 51. So I know I'm making you turn a little bit. If you don't want to turn to all these, that's okay. You can go just to the last one. So John 6, and then turn over to Psalm 51. There's a reason for this. I know Andrew Chadwell usually says, if Will's preaching, pack a lunch. And so I'm trying to give you the sections I really want you to turn and look at. There's some ones I'll be quoting today. But so Psalm 51, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Take a little ribbon thing or another piece of paper. Okay, so you got this, John 6, Psalm 51, and then go to Jeremiah 6, and that's where I'll read today, Jeremiah 6. So I appreciate visitors. We have a visitor with us this morning. I think just one, Kathy, came this morning. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. Amen. Any other first-time visitors or anything? No home folk today. I always say this when preacher's gone. I said, man, it sure is good to get behind a pulpit. I don't take it for lightly. Get behind the pulpit of God and preach. But if you don't like it, just wait till next week and preacher will be back. So, you know, I don't. It's all right. Okay, so Jeremiah chapter 6, y'all there. Say amen. I'm excited about preaching this in my heart for about 4 or 5 weeks now. And so Jeremiah 6, verse number 10 is where we'll start. Verse number 10 says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, the ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned into others, and their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I will visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Father, thank you so much for the precious word of God. And as we stand and honor it today by giving it reverence and reading it out loud, I pray that you would speak to hearts. I trust in the passage that says it'll do the work that it intends to do. It will not return void unto you. So as we read it, as we study it, I pray for wisdom. I pray for understanding. And I understand this, that the foolishness of preaching, you have decided to save those that believe. And so edify us today. I pray that your church would be edified in a mighty way. I pray that you would protect the minds of those that are pure. But then also, God, that you would reach in, grab a hold of those that just need you today. I pray that the word of God would have free course in this hour. God, I pray that you use your servant. You know my weaknesses. I need unction. I need power. I need your presence. And I need your mind, God, to preach this word today. And so we'll thank you. We'll praise you. And I'll be careful, God, to give you all honor, all glory, and all praise for what's said and done in this place. And we want to magnify the name of Jesus because it's in that holy and that awesome, that powerful name that we pray these things and ask. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It still works. It still works. And we'll get to that in just a second. But you see the title. But I just want to remind everybody, and you all know this, if you watch too much or you listen to what's going on in the world, we live in a broken world. I do that to make sure y'all still awake. 8:15, all right? We live in a broken world. It's broken. Sin has broken and continues to break families, relationships, dare I say churches, and even children of God. A broken world, you catch this, will always bring forth broken people. People are broken. The stress of life, the fear of death, the worry of money, the distress of situations, the depression of the future. As the song says, we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. But that doesn't keep us from being broken because we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Family struggles, personal struggles, money struggles, sin struggles, and then the pressure weighs so much on us that we break, that we're broken. And that's the world that we live in. We're in a broken world that brings forth broken people. And because of the things that weigh up on us, we get broken ourselves. Now, it sounds terrible. I never want to be broken, not have very many broken bones in my life. But I have had a few, and it doesn't feel very good. So when I think, man, when I talk about being broken, I think, my goodness, why is that a good thing? Well, it sounds terrible, but broken things need fixed. Broken things need fixed. Unless you just like broken things. I don't like broken things. I like them to work. And so we were at I was going to surprise my kids by taking them yesterday to, we got a gift card to Texas Roadhouse. Come on now. I say ribeye on the bone. That's what I'm talking about. And I walk in and I did a little online thing and reserved it and walked in. And we waited there about 10 minutes. And I said, there's something wrong. I walked over. I said, what in the world's going on? I'm hungry. And I've got 5 kids that are hungry, and they're ready. And they said, oh, well, you didn't do the check-in, the text message you received. I said, I didn't receive no text message. Oh, you received the text message. And I showed her my phone. I said, there's no text message on there. She goes, oh, what carrier do you have? And next time they ask me this, I'm going to say, what carrier you have? Because she said, I said, AT&T. She said, oh, we've been having problems with that. I was like, you liar. I didn't say that, but I thought, there ain't no way. It just happened to be my carrier having problems with. So next time I'm going to say, well, what carrier are you having problems with? Because then, but it was broken. I said, why is this broken? It should work. And things that are broken, man, I don't like that. But they need fixed. I'm going to tell you this. Things need fixed. But go to Psalm 51 now. Go to Psalm 51. Hold your place here. Please hold your place. We will flip back there. Psalm 51, very quickly, let me show you this awesome truth about the brokenness, because though we live in a broken world, and though God never intended it to be broken, sin breaks it, our society is broken, therefore it brings forth broken people, and God is in the fixing business. We're not in a fixing business. I can't fix your life. I barely can fix I can't fix my life. God is in the fixing business. It says in Psalm 139, he says, you were fearfully and wonderfully what? Made. What? And I think, how's fearfully? That means that he puts you together very fearfully, very carefully, that every piece of you that he put together. But what happens is in our life and in mine, I take what God has fearfully put together, and I try to scramble it up and make exactly what I want, and therefore I have to be broken for God to put me back together again. So Psalm 51 and verse number 17, watch this, says, for the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Watch this. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You see the compare. He says these brokenness is things that God says, hey, I'm not going to despise it. It's a sacrifice to me for you to be broken before me so that I can fix you. He said that these are things I don't despise. That word contrite, in verse 17, look at it real quick. He says, a broken and contrite heart. Contrite means broken. So God says, a broken and a broken. That when you're completely broken and then the pieces that you're broken into are broken also, he said, that's when I can start to work and put it back together. That sometimes I like to, hey, God, I'm broken in this area. And he said, well, you need work in this area. And I said, well, I'm not really broken that area yet. Oh, no, you need to be broken there. I want to put it back together the way it should be. God desires that. Isaiah 57 says he dwells with those that are of a contrite heart. Isaiah 57:15, if you're taking notes, Isaiah 57, he said, I will dwell with them that are of a broken heart. You don't have to turn there, but let me just quote that, because I can't quote it in my head right now. Isaiah 57, verse number 15 says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones, the broken ones. God is in the fixing business, and aren't you glad of that? That we're not, we may be broken, but God didn't say, well, you're broken, therefore you're useless, and I throw you away. No, that's what Satan does to his children. That's what Satan desires and wants to do within the children that he owns. God says, when you're broken, I want to fix you. I want to put you back the way you should have been instead of the way that I've tried to build myself up to be. So regardless of how broken you are, regardless of what you've went through, regardless of your past sins or the things that you may, your desires and your lusts drew you to, God says, I want to fix who you are. I'm not throwing you away. He doesn't throw the clay away. Instead, he uses the brokenness of who we are and the brokenness that we've grabbed a hold of or that we've experienced in this life to bring us up out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay and to set our feet up on a rock that people will look at us and say, there's no way that guy got to where he was. When I visit my hometown, last time I did my grandma's funeral, there was a secretary at my old high school, and she came up to me and she said, a minister? I said, don't say that, just say Will, you know, and she's like, a minister? You know, what is this, a reverend? I'm like, please don't say that again, you know, and she goes, I don't believe it. I looked at her and said, I don't either. I don't know what God's doing, but what happened? It ain't because I got right. It ain't because that suddenly I just seen the light and all. I fixed myself. No. I came with a broken heart, a broken spirit, and I said, God, use me. And God did use me. The awesome power of God's fixingness. There's a word that doesn't exist that you can write down exists now. And that he fixes things. He's in that. It says, regardless of how broken you are. It says he sacrifices of God or this broken spirit, that he doesn't despise a broken spirit. He doesn't look at it and think, oh my goodness, what did you do? No, he looks at it and said, oh, that can be fixed. He dwells with them. That's amazing. Isaiah 57, he said, I dwell with them that are broken. You would think that if someone's broken, God's like, oh man, I got to stay away from them. No. He says, I want to dwell within them. I want to be with them. I want to fix them the way they should be fixed. He says to revive them, to make alive again. Not only the spirit, but the heart. It said, that's in Isaiah 57:15, that he wants to revive not only your spirit, your countenance, who you are, lift you up. He wants to revive your heart or your purpose in life. That the purpose that you once had before you were broken, he said, I want to show you a new purpose. A purpose that can't be taken away because there's a war. A purpose that can't be taken away because there's a virus. A purpose that can't be taken away because everyone else says that you can't do it. I want to give you a purpose and revive the purpose that I created you to be and who I am. I fearfully and wonderfully made you to be. People in Jeremiah's day, if you go to Jeremiah chapter 6 in our text, people in Jeremiah's day, they wanted a fix, but they didn't want to be broken. They were going into captivity. If you know the timeline, they're about to go into captivity. It's in Josiah's day. We don't have time to really do a background on that, but they wanted a fix, but they weren't broken. And I know this, that if they would say, why fix what's not broken? And so God, he uses things to break us, but guys, it's up to us to be broken. He'll use situations to try to break us, but it's up to us to break so he can put us back together. Jeremiah's day, there's a few things I just wanted to see, actually five, that five little introduction, and then I got a seven-point message. I told that to Katie last night. She goes, gee. And I said, don't worry. It's God's perfect number, seven. You know, I got to, you know, but I want to show you a couple things why someone would not be broken. And you see that in Jeremiah and 6, just some things that, look at verse number 10. Number one, they did not heed warning, or they had a hearing problem. That hearing problem. Look at verse number 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. They had a hearing problem. They would not listen. God was trying to talk to them. God was trying to get them to a point where they came to him humbly. They tried to get them to a point where they were broken before him, but they wouldn't listen. And they wouldn't pay attention. God was trying to speak to them, but to them it was just someone yelling at them, they wanted an ear that would tickle. They didn't want this man of God to come and to preach at them. Instead, they would distract themselves with other things. One of the greatest things that ever happened in our youth group is Courtney Black got up, and we have a thing called Tonight with the Teens. I let the teenagers teach in the Word of God if they want to prepare a message. And I find out that they get in their Word a lot when they do that. And so I let them teach, and Courtney got up there, and she taught, and she goes, I just want to eliminate distraction. A preacher couldn't do that. A youth director couldn't do this because the teenager would be like, I can't believe he's doing this. Courtney got up and said, I want everybody to get up, and I'm going to put a basket. I'm going to put all your phones in this basket. I was back there having a little mini revival. I'm like, woo! And they all got up and did it. I'm like, hallelujah. And then I thought after she was done, she was going to be like, come get your phones. And I go, Courtney, you going to let them have their phones? She's like, no, you got to preach still. I'm like, come on now. And I'm telling you, it's the best. They weren't looking at. I said, man, I got to do that in the adult service when I preach, man. Because that's teenagers are on their phone. A lot of adults are on their phones too, man. So the distraction was limited. But what happened? These people, they had hearing problems. They were distracted by something else. Their minds were somewhere else. And you don't have to have a phone in front of you to have your mind distracted. You could be thinking, what's going to happen after church? What's going to happen after this? Instead, there's a focus when you come in to the presence of Almighty God. When you come in and try to listen to His voice, you don't have a hearing problem. They had a hearing problem. Because they had a hearing problem, He said, they ain't getting what I'm saying to them. Verse number 10, he says, they have no delight in it. They cannot hearken. Their ear is uncircumcised. That the fleshliness of what they want to hear isn't happening. They still have that flesh. I want that tickling. And when you start preaching about things that matter to me, I'm going to just shut off, turn away, and not listen anymore. They had hearing problems. Number two, they had heretic problems, or heretic prophets, that is. Look at this. Look at chapter 6. Look at verse number 13. For from the, watch it says, from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone deals falsely. They had heretic prophets. Why wouldn't they hear? Well, there was guys getting up and wanting proclaiming, thus saith the Lord. They were getting behind a holy pulpit of God and saying, well, you know, I know the Bible says this, but. And every time you say that, you're getting yourself in a world of trouble. See, they had heretic prophets. Prophets that would get up and say, oh, no, this is what preached. And I'm telling you, the more that I study, the more that I watch in America today, I don't think, we know this, it's been preached this. It isn't a Republican, Democrat, it isn't a political, man, it is a spiritual problem. We as a whole, as a church, now we're not perfect by any means. Oh, come on now, some of you still think you're perfect right now. We are not perfect by any means. Our church isn't perfect by any means, but we have stood on the Word of God. So we're not going to deviate from the Word of God. We're not going to preach a book. We're not going to preach an opinion. We're going to try to take the Word of God and proclaim it. We're not going to try to be a heretic that preaches other things besides what God says that we ought to preach. They had heretic prophets, ones that were supposed to be giving spiritual advice, that were supposed to be giving spiritual, good spiritual advice to spirit to have a people that's spirit-filled. He said they were heretics. The prophets and priests weren't even doing what they were supposed to do. How is God supposed to get a message out when the man of God who's supposed to be taking the message from God and preaching it to the people ain't doing that either? How are they supposed to do that? So there's a heretic prophets. Ones that were supposed to be given the word were corrupt. Whatever reason, for whatever reason. They not only were they had hearing problems and heretic prophets, number three, they had half peace going on. Now this was amazing to me. Look at verse 14. Says, they have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people. Now watch, he says, they've healed some things. The daughter of my people, but watch, what's it say there? Slightly. Saying peace, peace. But watch, God says, when there is no peace. What was he doing? There was a half. Because of the heretics were crying, everything is all right. They had a little easement in their life. They had a little bit of comfort. They had a little bit of peace. That the prophets were standing up and saying, oh, and so everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. And they're sitting in the pews going, man, I'm glad he said that because I thought things were really bad. And God's like, they are really bad. You just have a slight peace. You're just comforted slightly. And God says, that ain't the way it's supposed to be. You, You may have a slight peace because the guy stands up, but he said, in the end, you're not broken before me because you don't realize there is no peace where the prophet or the priest says there is peace. They were looking to what the man said instead of what God himself said. They had half peace. Number four, holiness was protested. Look at verse number 15. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not all ashamed, neither could they blush. There's no shame in what they did. 2022. There's no shame before God. There's no fear before God. I know this, that if someone follows someone on social media, I'm not a social media guy, I'd get kicked off pretty soon. Okay, I don't think that's why I never did it. And people would friend me and then they'd hate me soon afterwards. So I'm like, I'm just not going to do it. And do you realize there's no shame in sin? And I know we've preached this, but do you realize there's no shame in sin nowadays? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what Isaiah says. Right. And there's no shame before their eyes. They'll say what they want. They'll live a lifestyle they want. And there's coddling going on within the church of God because of these things. We're talking about judging in Sunday school hour. I'm going to tell you, I'm not here to judge them. God's already have. And if there's no shame, now watch. Judgment must begin at the house of God. It wouldn't be such, it always is a problem, but I don't think it would be such of a problem if Christians weren't doing the same as they were. That if we want to, we'll pick up our social media and we'll type in stuff, and I can't believe the amount of cuss words that my wife will show me from her Facebook page and things that people will say, and in my mind, people that are putting things on social media or things, people that are saying things in public, and they are supposed to be born again Christians, and there is no shame. I don't expect the world to have shame in their sin, but I do expect a blood-bought child of God to have shame in their sin. So in the end, holiness was protested. Holiness? Man, you mentioned holiness. I don't run people out of the church more than anything. Holiness? God said, be ye holy for I'm holy. Holiness was protested. Let me run those. So there's hearing problems. Heretic prophets. There's half-peace proclaimed. Holiness was protested. And then number five, the humbleness was pushed away. Look at verse 16. The end of the verse says, they said, we will not walk therein. You got to be humble before God. You don't got to be humble before me. You got to be humble before other Christians. But you need, and I need, to be humble before God. And that's why they weren't broken. They didn't want to humble themselves. They didn't want to say, I was wrong, God, you are right. And that's where they got in trouble. That's where there was no brokenness within them in Jeremiah's day. And I tell you, friend, that's why we ourselves personally or our world around us will find no brokenness, is because humbleness is pushed away. So in the midst of this, these rebellious people, God sends a prophet that doesn't tickle their ears. He doesn't. He weeps before them and he tells them things. If you read through the book of Jeremiah, that you think, my goodness, in the midst of prosperity, they were in Josiah's day. We don't have time to look at the history of it, but Josiah was doing great things. In the midst of it, there was a prophet that raised up and said, what you're doing is wrong. And they didn't tickle their ears. And they said, I don't want none of this. To get them to a broken state, God was trying to give them a man to preach. So what does he tell them? What does he tell them in the midst of all this to get them to a broken state? Look at verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. And he says this, where is the good way? And walk therein and ye shall find rest to your souls. He said, you need to stand in these old ways. You need to see these old ways. You need to walk in these old ways. And then you will find rest for your souls. And I think everyone in this room, I say this to teenagers a lot, but I believe it to adults. I believe it to everyone. We want rest to our souls, not rest to our bodies. I hope you laid your head down last night and got rest for your bodies while you sleep. We want rest for our souls. Our souls are stirred in the midst of a wicked and perverse nation. Our souls are stirred when we start to see all these things come to pass. And we say, God, we just need rest in these times. And God said, if you want rest, seek my old paths. Why? Because they still work. It still works. Jeremiah chapter 42, if you just turn over there really quickly. Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 3. Watch this, because in a new age, I think that we look for new ways. I think we look for, and I'm not saying new ways to do old things. I'm saying we look for new ways. And I look at Jeremiah, and this passage just came to me because I always read over Jeremiah. When I read over Jeremiah, I get to chapter 42, and I'm like, this is unbelievable. Look at chapter 42, verse number 2. He said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let we beseech thee, our supplication be accepted before thee, and pray for us unto the Lord thy God, even for all this remnant. Now watch this. This is the Israelites, the heads of Israel, coming to Jeremiah and saying, hey, we want you to go to God for us in intercession. Look at it. It says, even for all this remnant, for we are left but a few of many, as thine eyes do behold us. Watch this. Verse 3. That the Lord thy God may show us the way wherein we may walk and the thing we may do. You see what they just said right there? They said, Jeremiah, we want you to go before God. And we would say, God, we want you to tell us how we should walk. You show us. And Jeremiah, watch verse number 4. And he says, and tell us how we may do. Jeremiah chapter 4, he says, Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard you. Behold, I will pray unto the Lord your God. Look at verse 5. They said unto Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord their God. So watch this. In case you didn't catch it, you might have. He said, go to God before us. Then when he comes to you and you tell us, whatever he says, we'll do it. We'll say, blessed be God. If it's evil to us, we'll do it. If it's good to us, we'll do it. Now look at chapter 43, verse 2. Jeremiah preaches at him for about half a chapter. And verse number 2 of chapter 43 says, then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, of those bunch of names, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. What did he just do? He said, Jeremiah said, oh, I'm going to come to you, and this is what God said you should do, and I'm preaching at you. This is what God, this is the old ways. And they said, well, we don't like that. We want to do something new. We want to do our own way, and you told us to stay here, but we're going to Egypt. We want to do we reject the old way. Instead, we'll do the new way. These are the type of people he's dealing with. And therefore, there was no brokenness before him. Go to John chapter 6. Let me show you this. John chapter number 6. You got you creased it, or you should have, or put something in there. John chapter number 6, look at verse number 26. Now, I don't have a lot of time to expound on this, but Jesus, he does some works, and he goes across the sea, does all these things. Verse number 26, verse 25, John 6:25, it says, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to the rabbi, when camest thou hither? They're like, when did you get over here? We're kind of looking for you, but how'd you get over here? Watch verse 26. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. You know what he just said there? He said, I've been showing you miracles of who I am. I've been showing you that I am God in the flesh. I've been showing you that these great and mighty works of old, I've been showing you who I am, Jehovah God, through what I've done. But instead, you got a new way to think of who I am. It's by me feeding you or feeding the flesh. Keep reading. Watch this. Verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't labor for fleshly things, the new things, the new age. Hey, my flesh needs to be uplifted by this stuff. That if I come into a church service and I'm not excited, hey, catch this. If you're more excited about watching a TV show, you probably ought to shut that TV off than coming into the house of the Lord. Wow, okay, you understand that? I think that the reason we're not sitting on the edge of our seats and the reason that we don't get ready to take notes or whatever we do when we come into the house of the Lord is we're so excited by other things that the world's captured our attention. It's that new thing. And God said, hey, you want brokenness. Hey, you want to get humble before me. He said, seek the old path because I'm telling you, it still works. And in John chapter number 6, verse number 28, he said, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He said, what is it that God does that works? Verse 29, Jesus answered unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Boy, that's pretty old. What are you supposed to do? Just believe on him. Well, what about making him my Lord? I know he's supposed to become your Lord, but that isn't salvation. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be. Well, no, this. What about baptism? Fantastic, get in the water, but it isn't needed for salvation. See, it's the old past. He said, believe on me. Watch verse 30. They said to him, therefore, what sign? You see that? What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe, or what dost thou work? They're like, well, give us something else here, Jesus. He's like, no, it's the old past. Verse number 32, Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say, or verse 31, he said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. The flesh, we want to eat. They got manna. Why don't you do something like that so we can feed our flesh? He said this, you've got the point all wrong. You see, that which was of old was speaking of me. Look at verse number 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, you've got to understand, the old paths, man, they still work. They still work. You don't need some new age thing. You don't need something else. Give me some signs. It's 2022. God, surely you could do something. God said, no, the old paths still work. You'll find rest for your souls when you stand in them, when you see them, when you walk in them. Didn't Abraham tell the rich man that was in hell, if they don't believe that Moses and the prophets, neither would they believe what? Someone rose from the dead, a new thing. Didn't he say that? I can go through the scripture, don't have time. You'll find rest for your souls. Hey, why the old past? Because they work. Why did God say, man, just look to the old past? Because the new ones, man, they'll just, you'll have to send something new. We're at a concert, and I know I'm going fast, so y'all get this because I'm trying to get it all through. We were at a concert in our old building. We first started. I remember this. Two teenagers came in, and they said, I said, man, you need to believe on Jesus Christ. And they said, we'll believe on him if this chair moves and floats in the air in front of us. That's what they said. I said, that ain't going to happen. Well, that's how we're going to believe. I said, I know. And then that would happen, and you watch it, and you look at it, and you'd be like, well, I need something else. Why? Because the old paths are the ones that'll get us right. The old ways, not new ways, because if there's a new way, then we'll say, God, I need another new way. Well, I seen that last week, God. Now I need to see another miracle this week. God, no, no, no. Search for the old past. That's what will bring brokenness. That will bring brokenness. Well, then God will put our pieces together and build us up into a glorious temple set and meet for the master's use. That's the vessels that we need to become. And he said, search these old paths. Why? Because they still work. We've seen massive changes in the past 2 years. Have we not? Have we not seen that? I always wash my hands when I'm sick. I always wash my hands, but I mean, I'm not as bad, but they came out with, oh, we need to wash our hands. Like that was a new thing. Was that new to anyone? Stay home when you're sick. Duh. I mean, I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just thinking they're coming out with these things. Did anybody else sit there and go, wait, what? I mean, isn't that what we're supposed to do anyway? I mean, if you're sick, don't come and be like, how you doing? You know, I that doesn't make sense to me. But you see, we've seen these massive, we've seen all these things in, we've seen the things we knew. We've seen COVID change the way we've done things in some churches. But I'm going to tell you, the old ways have never changed. The old ways have never changed. The old ways still work. The old ways still have some pull. But, Will, what if this happens? I guarantee you the old ways still work. They still work. In the midst of brokenness, in the midst of a broken and perverse nation, in the midst of slaughtering babies by the millions, the old ways still work. In the midst of a sin-ridden nation that cares not about the things of God as a whole, but instead they are pushed toward their own lust and their own desires, we think, well, we've got to reach these new age people. No, the old ways still work. We don't need to invent something new. We don't need to say, well, this is, we're going to do things. No, the old ways still work. Fighting over sin, it still works. What the Bible says, how you need to fight sin. What cracks me up is the new ways, they still leave you wanting. I still want more. But God says these old ways, keeping your family, the old ways still work. Your money problems, the old ways still work. Stress problems, the old ways still work. It still works. Hallelujah. It still works. What are the old ways? Here's the 7 points. You ready? It still works. What? What's the old ways? You can write this down if you're taking notes. Number one, tribulation still works. Tribulation still works. I won't turn you these. You can write these down. Luke 15, there was some tribulation in a young son's life, was there not? And what happened? and went back home. 9/11, 2001, most of you were there. Some of you weren't. But I remember going to church the first Sunday that I've went in a long time. Why? Because tribulation still works. You say, God, why is all this stuff happening in our country? Maybe because our country won't turn to Him unless He has this stuff happen. God, all this stuff in my life, what are you trying to... He's trying to bring you closer. I was in Kroger the other day, and some ladies that know me, and they know I'm a preacher. Two ladies in one stop at Kroger. What do you think about all this stuff going on? And I told them, I have no idea because I don't watch any of it because I don't. I want to punch a wall, and it just makes me want... My stress level goes up. My blood pressure goes to boiling. It just makes me mad. So I just stay away from it. And guess what? I'm still okay. Well, Will, you don't know what's going on. Praise God. I mean, I know who's on the throne, who's got it all under control. He knows all about it. And I'm just, now you can watch it. That's fine. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just, I can't. And they're like, what about all this stuff? I'm like, I don't know, but I know this. God's trying to draw people to Him. Tribulation still works. Tribulation still works. It will work. It's an old way. God will get a hold of you. If you will not come to Him willfully, He'll get a hold of you through some tribulation. Trials in your life. Happened to me. Give you my testimony. It happened to me. Will get right. Will get right for years. Will get right. Will get right. Preacher's in my way. My friend's dying. Will, I want you. Get right. And it took a tribulation. And I said, okay, God, I got you. Hey, 2022. Tribulation still works. Number two, the truth still works. Hebrews 4:12, I quoted that, but you're in the book of John. Go to chapter number 18. Look at this. The truth still works. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is quick, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God, Jesus said, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how old people say the book is, the truth still works. It still works. John chapter 18, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. It still works. The word of God still works. The preaching of it, the teaching of it, don't stray from it. Don't think a book does it. The word of God, the truth, it still works in 2022. The old paths still work. It still works. Number three, the temple still works. I'm talking about the church. I just had to put a T in there. The temple still works. I'm going to tell you, the people of the church, it still works to gather amongst. Now, I know there's bickering and there's people. And when you got people, you got problems. Someone, come on, say amen to that. You know, you're like, but I love the people around you. I know you do, but sometimes you just can't stand them, okay? Because that's the way it works. And you think, does it still work? Does it still work to gather and sit beside people? Does it still work to come and hear a guy stand up, or a man of God, an anointed man of God, a spirit-filled man of God, stand behind a pulpit and say, thus saith the Lord? Does it still work? Yes, it still works. In 2022, the old paths still work. Let me tell you this, the altar still works. Now, I know it took me a while to get some carpet and a nice stage up here, but I'm telling you, it still works. It still works to come down and weep for the lost. It still works to come down and weep for those that are gone astray, or weep for a health problem. The altar still works. Well, that's old-fashioned. I know, because the new ways, they leave you wanting. The old ways, they still work. Hallelujah. They still work. Baptism still works, man. To get in the water and be baptized, and the Lord's Supper, it still works to prick our minds. The things of God, they still work. A bus route still works. Come on, they're shutting them all down. I don't think there's another church running in Marysville, but it still works. The old ways still works. Tribulation still works. Truth still works. Number three, the temple still works. Number four, your testimony still works. Your testimony still works. Don't think the people around you that don't know Jesus aren't looking at your testimony. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the testimony of the Lord will make wise the simple. Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13, David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. And he says, then will I teach transgressors thy way. What happened? David had lost his testimony. David said, I had sinned before you, O God, and I know that I'm not right, but I want you to restore that testimony that I once had, that I'm a man after your own heart, and after you do that, I will teach transgressors my ways, because the testimony that you hold and that I hold amongst the people around us, it still works. Still works. You mean I'm not supposed to be like them? No, you're supposed to be different. What hope did they have if they see the same hope in you that they see in themselves? Your testimony still works. Is it pure? Is it faithful? You don't cuss and chew and run with those that do, right? Holiness is still expected by God. Holiness is still expected by God. Why? Because it still works. Testimony, just being, and I know, I was telling some ladies yesterday, I was preaching, and they had some preaching messages they wanted to give me. So they started telling me they wanted me to preach up here today, and I'm writing it down, putting it all in. No, I wasn't doing that, but they were joking around about, hey, you know, you preach this and this and do this and this and this. But I'm going to tell you this, one of the greatest preaching that you could ever do is have a pure testimony for the people around you, because it still works. Your testimony still works. Number five, talking to God still works. Talking to God still works. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and you shall. Do we really believe it? I sure wish they'd set up an email system for God, man. I just could get so much done. Right? There's a little girl. I was going to say I'm going to remain nameless, but I won't in the early service. My daughter Ellie. She wants to play softball so bad, and it just didn't work out for our family. And $4 a gallon gas didn't help much either. Traveled back and forth to Delaware, and she said, "Am I going to play, Dad?" I'm like, "No, there's no way. No, 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 Dad." She said, "I'm still going to pray." And I said this. I said, "Yeah, it'll move mountains." In the back of my mind, I'm like, "You ain't moving me, girl." I said, "No, that's it. I'm still going to pray, Dad, because talking to God still works." And this old boy, I could be as tough as I want to be. I was driving early in the morning. And it wasn't even a message about letting your daughter play softball. And I can't tell you what it was, but I said, "Okay, Ellie, you can play." She goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, because prayer still works. Still talking to God. It still works." I've got this little book in our bathroom, and it says, "We all pray some." So it says some. And I think, my goodness, how we've gone away from asking. So why ask last week? I know, but did you ask today? I want my family to be saved. Yeah, but how much? Because talking to God. Come on, talking to God still works. Number six, turning from sin still works. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 verse 10 says, "Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation," and it says, "not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." Listen to me. Repentance still works. Turning from your sin still works. But it's everywhere. If I turn from it, then I might see it over here. And if I turn from it this way, I might see it over here. And I'm weary. And God, I don't want to do that. God, I don't want to do that. I want to repent. But man, it's all around me. I'm telling you, repentance still works. It's an old path. It's not preached on much. But I tell the teenager, when's the last time you repented of something? I know I've sinned since then. Well, I ain't got nothing really to repent of. Are you serious? I said, maybe just the old way. Turning from your sin. Does it still work? It still works. It still works. The old past. Number 7, and lastly, telling the story still works. Telling the story still works. The blessed gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It still works. You mean the simple story of Jesus dying, being buried, and rising again from the dead? Hey, it still works. Sitting with a man in the office yesterday, he needed some help. He's down on his luck. And I come and said, tell me your story. And he said, well, I was born in. And I thought, well, this is going to be a while. I didn't really mean that story, but you know. And he went through his life story. I found out he grew up Jehovah Witness. And he could quote me verses. He wasn't in the church, but he was just telling me some of these things. I could tell he was versed in the Bible a lot. And I told him, but do you believe that Jesus is Jehovah God? He's like, well, you know, they said this. I said, I'm not they, you. And I gave him the gospel, and I thought, man, is this ever going to work? Because Jehovah's Witnesses, and he's telling me what Jesus is to them. And I said, would you like to get saved, truly? But you got to believe Jesus is Jehovah God. He said, yes, I would. I said, why don't you just pray this prayer after me? And here's what he said. He said, can I just pray? Go for it. He said, my Father, my Jesus, I accept you now as God. And he went on this prayer, and I'm just sitting over there, and it's all I could do. I was in my seat, and I'm going, because he was praying it, and he was calling on it. What did I do? Did I coerce him? No, I told him, look, I can't convince you. That's not my business. My business is to give you the gospel, and then what God does in your heart, that's up to you. Why? Telling the story still works. We don't have to fluff it up. We don't have to make it relevant for the day. Just tell it. Hey, the old paths still work. The old paths still work. But man, we're in a new age. I know, but the old paths still work. In church, telling the story, just the gospel. Hey, it still works. Lord, I do thank you for the holy word today. And as we come and bow of your Bible, turn to John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6 this morning. Appreciate you standing, honoring God's word. I'm going to do a little work on it this morning. I'm going to have you turn to three different places. If you have a bookmark or a little ribbon thing on your Bible, I don't know what they call those things, little black thing in the middle there, you can... I'm going to go to three different places, so you can place, and there's a reason for this. I joked earlier, Andrew Chadwell says, whenever I preach, you ought to pack a lunch. And so I'm trying not to make you too late for dinner today. So put it right there, put a marker, something in there. John chapter number 6, I'll give you the verses here in just a little bit. And I'd go to the book of Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51 after that. Take your time. I'm getting there. I just want you to see these verses. There's certain verses in my text or in our preaching today that I would love for you to see. I'll quote some, but I want you to see certain ones. I'm just going to have you already there so you can stay on the text, and then we'll flip back and forth and go back to our text this morning. So Psalm 51, you got John 6 marked, Psalm 51, and then... I know you're like, what in the world? Bring a piece of paper. Dave McCracken likes to say, if you don't got a bookmarker, just tear the maps out of the back. You don't use those anyway, right? Just tear one of those out and put it right there. You say, you're tearing the Bible. No, you're not. It's the maps. You know, they don't. And then go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 6. That's where our text will be. We'll do our preaching out of that. I like preaching time. I like singing. I like praising God. Oh, how he loves you and me. Come on. Oh, how he loves you and me. That song, his grace so free washes over me. Whew. Man, if you've never experienced the grace of Jesus Christ wash over you, you're missing it. You need it. That's why we're here. The grace so free washes over me. Whew. I'm going to preach another message before I get into the message. But Jeremiah chapter number 6, read you verse 10 through 17. Read verse 10 through 17. Jeremiah 6, verse number 10, the word of God says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of the young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Looks pretty bleak right there, doesn't it? Watch this. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not